blessing to have Jim and Peggy Tilson with us today. They really don't need much introduction. They were members here for many years while serving the Lord with Source of Light Ministries down in Madison, and they've had some changes in their lives in recent years, and then a little change in the responsibilities there at the mission, and Jim will be here to talk about those things. We've been supporting them for quite some time, and it is a joy that we are able to have them here with us today. I wish more of us could be here. There are several who are out that are sick or traveling this week. I told Peggy it's because they heard Jim was coming, but I really don't think that's the case. But it is a pleasure to have him here with us.
Well, we are going to have a quiz at the end of the time, and I'll really grade pastors hard after making... it is good to be back with you, and it wasn't too long ago we were here for homecoming, and good to see you again. Some of you are new here since we went, since we came here to the church, and we're ministering at Source of Light Ministry. So I'm going to give just a brief synopsis of the entire ministry. Now, really, there's no real brief synopsis of it. And we might even open it up for some questions and answers. I'll ask the questions and you give the... No. Questions and answers, and we'll just... if you've something has piqued your interest... I don't see a lot of little ones here this morning, but if you're if you have a child that can color in dots and understands the ABCs, my wife will have some a gift for you afterwards. Before we get into talking about the overall picture. So you know what is back there, you can pick it up. Those of you that we gave you your prayer, our prayer letters, inside was a prayer card. And if you are getting a prayer, a paper prayer letter, and you would like to do it by email, if you would take that prayer card inside your prayer letter and... just tear that off, fill in your name, address, phone number, Social Security. No, we'll leave that out. Your name and address, and then just mark the appropriate area there that you would like to receive this by email instead of snail mail. Of course, it's not snail mail to you because we usually send them up by the Rosenbergers, and they hand deliver them. But we can take care of just... and then give that to us today before you leave. For those of you that are brand new to our ministry, you can pick one of these prayer cards up back there on the table. You can do the same thing. Rather than having a sign-up sheet, just fill that out, give it to us. And we can also get you the Reaper magazine, which is right here. The Reaper magazine, which is our quarterly magazine, and by the way, that's what—that's one of the main, or the, would you say it, the most time you spend, Marianne, is on that Reaper. She does the graphics. Bill does most of the printing on this. He has help with another guy there, but you can pick one of those up if you don't already receive those, but you can also get those by email. Take advantage of that if you would like to change over from the snail mail to the email. We'd be glad to do that for you. We want to say thank you for your support over the years. And support tends to ebb and flow, but you guys have been consistent. And I know that there are churches where we have lost some support because they were in a very economically depressed area, and people lost jobs. No jobs, the money's not there. And so those are things that we have to deal with on a monthly, yearly basis. Also, those of you that do not receive, before I forget it, those of you that do not receive our prayer letter, we have one of these back there. You can pick it up, Christmas 2014. You can pick that up, and that will kind of update you in some areas concerning us and also the ministry there at Source of Light. Source of Light is 60 years old, started back in the early 50s. It was started because of a crusade that took place in the Caribbean, and they needed some follow-up literature. That was the beginning. If you ever come into Madison and you see the Chamber of Commerce building, that was the second home. It was the second before we're out in the present facility. Of course, the present facility has changed quite a bit over the years. Source of Light, as you can tell here, as you can tell by the graphics here, a Source of Light has over 40 training branches. Now, a branch is basically a small, what we do out here. They even do some of their printing in country. In some countries, it is much more economical, etc. So there's printing that is done in some of these countries. Over on five continents in over 100 languages. Now, what is... I should have gotten this information. The languages we do there are how many? 15, about 15 languages. So you can tell a lot of these languages are done in country. And the distribution of approximately, and this is on an average, approximately 6 million lessons a year. Now, there are usually, except for the kids' lessons, there are usually 2 to 3 lessons in each booklet. This is another brochure that you may want to get a hold of. This gives you an overall view of our ministry. It also has on the back, it shows you where we are, gives you some information about our ministry, and in the front, or in the middle there, as you fold it out, it shows you everything that we do in English, and then a breakdown over here of some of the languages and what we do in those particular languages. We supply, well, let me just say this. Our motto, if you want to call it that, providing the tools to finish the job. And this is for pastors, for evangelists, for missionaries. We were in a missions conference on the other side of Atlanta about 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And I had the opportunity to speak first in the Sunday morning service, just to give a 10-minute report. And in the time from Sunday school until the morning service was over, the pastor of that church is a former missionary. And there were two other missionaries there that gave account of this, plus the missionary that talked to me afterwards who spoke in the Sunday school. And they said, we use this material. And we, the one said, I grew up taking this. He was a third generation missionary. So his grandmother got him started on it. And basically, what it does, it's an outreach to win people to the Lord and then to disciple them. From age 4 to 104, whatever. I sat down at 1 to 2 years, figured out that if an adult started with the adult lessons, which starts with light from the Gospel of John, started with the adult lessons and went through everything we had at that time, they would take over 120 lessons. I don't know what it is today. because some things have been refined and more have been added, etc. But this will give you a good overview of what we do. If you know of someone in your neighborhood, in your family, or whatever, that you're concerned about their salvation and you would like for them to receive a free Bible study, or if you know someone that's a new Christian and they need to be discipled, you can pick up one of these cards back there and fill in the appropriate information, and we will start sending them those appropriate lessons. I will turn those over to Madison Discipleship School, which is right there in our facility, and they will send those lessons out to that individual and begin discipling them through those lessons. It's amazing. And in our prayer letter, if you haven't read it already, and those of you that get it by email, it still hasn't been sent yet, so you're going to have to wait just a little bit. Usually it's the other way around. You get it first, and then the snail mail one comes. But I've got a couple of testimonies in there from people, I think one prisoner and then just one other individual, about what taking these lessons has done for their lives. There are a lot of people out there that we cross paths with every day that are hurting people in one way or another. They may have diamonds on their fingers that say, "I'm rich," the car they drive, or they may be down and out. But they need the Lord Jesus Christ, or they need to be discipled. I want to share with you a couple of areas. And now, do you put these Sunday services on? Okay. You might want to clip this part of it out, if you can. Okay. It's a little bit sensitive, and I want to talk about two different areas just to show you what's happening around the world. That's where we're headed. We, as the nationals here, are here helping them to do their job. So I'm going to stop right there, and we'll take this segment. And do you have any questions about our overall ministry? Anybody? Now, we do have a 3-year Bible Institute called WWBI, Worldwide Bible Institute. Peggy is involved right now with Extreme Assignment. That is young adults, and I talk about that a little bit in the prayer letter, where young adults come in for a year. Actually, they start 1st of September, go through the end of July. They come in and they are bombarded, is a mild way of putting it, with the scriptures and the studies. When they are through, they have, in a year's time, they have developed an associate's degree in ministry. They are, in essence, taking over a 20-hour load for both of those, what you would call both those semesters, probably closer to 25 hours or a week that they're involved. And then that's the first half of their day. The second half of their day is they are then being able to be a part of the ministry. One young man is working out in the print shop pretty regularly, isn't he? Okay. One young lady is working in my department. A couple of the young ladies are learning how to answer the phone and take your phone calls when they come in. Some of them are working in the Madison Discipleship School and doing various things there, grading lessons, corresponding, whatever the case might be. Do you have some help in graphics, too? Okay. They get a taste of missions and what it means to do the work that we're doing. And then sometime next spring, and I don't know when it is or where they're going, but they actually take about a 2-week mission trip. Now, when you keep kids, and this year we've got five kids, when you keep kids on campus 24 hours a day, you got to feed them. And that's something that Peggy has been doing, is been doing some of the purchasing and some of the food preparation for these kids at lunchtime. So she's working with the extreme assignment. Our prayer, and here's another prayer request. Our prayer is that one or more of these young people would say, this is where I want to serve. This is where God has called me. And I'm praying that specifically for my department. And Sarah, she just taken to the Braille department. It's been amazing. And that the Lord might eventually lead her there. I'm not getting any younger. No comments. I'm not getting any younger, and I don't want to be like John, who mentored me. He was in his mid-80s when I took over, and he left. I don't want to have to be to that point. I would like to train someone now to do what I am doing. My particular area that I work with is the Braille. How many of you come in contact with blind people every day? Didn't think so. You don't see them out. If they live in your community, you probably don't see them because they tend to stay somewhat secluded. The reason, they don't feel like they are really a part of society, our society. It wasn't until 4 years ago that I got a real good picture. And when I spoke here just shortly after I went into that department, I told you some things that John told me, but now I'm telling you things that I have learned. And I'm still learning every day. And the greatest piece of advice that John gave me when I came into the department was this statement: you have to think like a blind person. Everything you do, your conversation on the phone, your brailing, everything you do, you have to think like a blind person. Because they can't see anything. You and I can see typos. They can't. And when they come to a typo, it confuses them. Unless they're really good readers and read contextually. So I have geared myself up that way, and I'm glad John taught me that. For instance, let me give you an idea. In one of our books that I am brailing right now, it says, read such and such a verse, take a colored pencil, and underline the important words. Duh. Hey, and I have to change that paragraph. It might read something like this. Read such and such a verse and braille on a piece of paper or on note cards. And almost every blind person has a machine like I've got back there on the table. It's called a Perkins Brailler. An old manual typewriter. They can braille note cards. Okay, so I have to change all of that. See such and such a verse. You know, it's in parentheses. Wait a minute. We're not seeing too well. So we change the wording. And that's a lot of my work, is changing the wording or putting things on a page the way they have been taught in the blind schools. That they can expect to find a heading at a certain place, numbers in certain places, etc. I like to say this. Everything, you've heard this statement, everything is bigger in Texas. Well, everything is bigger and more expensive in Braille. Pick up your Bible for a moment, please. Just hold it up. If you were a blind person in here this morning and I asked you to pick up your Bible, and they weren't electronically gifted, they'd have to pick up 17 to 18 of these volumes. This right here is Matthew and Mark. It takes four volumes like this to do the New Testament. 17 to 18 volumes, depending on the producer. We don't do these. Got other companies that do these well. Can you imagine? You say, well, why don't they go electronic? You know what that is? Now, my coworker is blind. And I asked him a question. I said, how many blind people are electronic? He said, in America. He said, maybe 10%. I said, why? He said this. I said, Stuart, how much does it take for just for the basics for a blind person to get it set up electronically? And he said, $5,000. That's a computer and the special programs, etc. I don't understand all of that. And most blind people don't have good jobs if they have jobs at all. They live on government subsistence. So this is their lifeline. And we take it so for granted that we just pick up our Bible. Chris, you had us turn in our hymnal. That is a Braille hymnal that is just a little bit bigger, has a few more songs in it than yours here. If I were to do your hymnal that you have here, this is 9 volumes. It would take 7 volumes. I've already looked at it. We separate them out into 100 hymns per volume. Can you imagine that? This is going to a young girl, 6 years old. Church is buying it for her. So she can grow into it. We do these hymnals in 3-ring binders. So we cheat just a little bit. It helps them. This is part of thinking like a blind person. We do them in 3-ring binders so they can find out the songs that are going to be done ahead of time. They can go to the volumes, open them up, find the number, pull it out, and put it in a small folder. So that helps them with the bulk. But they have to do a lot. They have to do a lot of preparation ahead of time to be ready for church. My coworker, he said, when I got saved, he got saved about 12 years ago. He said, when I got saved, I started going to church, Sunday school. I wanted to sing in the choir, but couldn't. He said, I was nothing but a spectator. I want you to remember that term, spectator. I was nothing more than a spectator. I showed up and I left. I showed up and I left. I showed up and I left. Why? And I think it's because we, not just in the sighted world, but in a lot of other areas, we are comfortable in our own little world. We have our comfort zones. We have the people we prefer. If we're going to witness to them, they would fit in my comfort zone, so I'll go visit them. But these people over here don't fit my comfort zone, so I won't visit them. I won't help them. We did a hymnal for a church about 2 years ago. That particular church called me and they said, we need a hymnal for a man that's been attending our church for 15 years. He sits down here on the front row. He sings by memory. Beautiful baritone voice. Everybody in the church auditorium can hear him sing. Wish we had more like that. And when we're teaching a brand new song, his voice is missing. It's not there. Because he doesn't know the song. And he said, you know, it finally, 15 years, it finally dawned on us. We need to do something. So he called me. He said, do you have that hymn book? And I said, no, but it's the same hymn book that we have in our ministry here at Source of Light that we use in chapel. And I am working on that right now. And I said, if you'll give me his name and address, I'll send it to him once we're done with it. And he said, no. Pastor said, you send it to the church. We're going to present it to him on Sunday service. Well, Monday morning after we sent that and it was presented, the pastor called me back and he said, let me tell you what happened. He said, we did what you said to do. Took the songs out that we were going to do that Sunday, and we purposely picked a brand new song that we're working on. And that was the first one. We put it in the little folder. He said, we stood to sing that song. And this isn't a hymnal. Most blind people read upside down. If you'll watch them, they'll hold their book upside down or hold it like this. He said, he stood there and he began to sing. And he began to sing a song he'd never sung before. And he said that when we finished, everybody in the congregation heard these words come out of his mouth. I did it. I finally did it. Now, folks, if that doesn't drive you, nothing else will. So as we are producing in the Braille department, daily devotionals, Sunday school lessons, we've got blind Sunday school teachers who are teaching sighted classes that we're providing Sunday school lessons for. Send those out monthly. Have over 350 Braille readers. Now, and when I first went into that department, we were sending out about 175. But now we are branching out from there, and the very lessons that Bill and Mary Ann work on in graphics in the print shop, we are now doing those same lessons so that we can disciple the blind people. Starting out with light from the Gospel of John, assuming they're not saved, and then going from there. Right now, I am almost finished with My New Life in Christ. This is the book in print. This is the book for Braille. Can you imagine the bookshelves in these people's houses? They're wall to wall. Just to give you a better idea, and I noticed this when we came in a while ago. Our Daily Bread, you have it here. How would you like to have this for Our Daily Bread for 1 month? And that's printed on both sides of the sheet. 20, 30 years ago, they printed it on one side of the sheet, so it had been double that size. That's why I say everything is bigger and more expensive in Braille. It costs us almost $6 to produce this and get it into the hands of one blind person. $31 for a box of 1,000 sheets of paper. That's pretty expensive. Of course, it has to be special paper. Braille machines, embossers, to do the embossing, one at a time. I mean, they don't fly off the press like they do out in the print shop. It takes almost 30 minutes to do one daily bread. One. And we have to do well over 300 of them now. So God has given us a ministry to a people group that by and large the church is not reaching. And I think that's because we don't know how to reach them, or they don't fit into our comfort zone. I want to close with this. You say you're not going to preach. I'm going to give you just a short challenge. You know the verse, John 3:16. I want you to say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we're going to say that verse again when I stop, or I'm going to say it again. When I stop, I want you to say the next two words. For God so loved. Who is the world to you? Who is the world to you? Usually when I ask that question, the answer is, well, that means everybody. Are we reaching out to everybody? You know what I have found, and it's really been it's been magnified since I've been in the Braille ministry. We all have prejudices. There are certain groups of people that we just don't feel like being around. Now I'm going to give you a personal example. About a month ago, I was at the Ingalls gas station, filling up the car. A young gal drives in on the other side, probably mid to late 20s. And every inch of her flesh that I could see was what? Tattooed. You know my response? To myself, my response was, how gross. I didn't think about maybe how lost. And it's not comfortable working with that. But what did Jesus do? The woman at the well, etc. You go through His ministry. Do you know someone that lives that other lifestyle? Have you tried to witness to them? Or is it kind of... And you know, it's that same way with blind people. They walk into the church, and we just don't know how. I had a missionary ask me one time at a missions conference a year ago. He asked me this question. He said, how in the world... Let me just give you a little background here. He is a missionary with Amazing Grace Missions, which goes to the fairs of America, sets up a booth, and witnesses to all kinds of people. But he asked me this question, how in the world do you witness to a blind person? You know what my answer was? Just like you witness to a sighted person. Don't let their blindness throw you off. Let me challenge you with this. What is your world? Do you pick and choose who you work with? I never dreamed God would ever give me this opportunity. But in over 40 years of ministry, the last four have been the most fulfilling years of ministry because I'm working with a group of people that, by and large, the church has left behind. We have deaf ministries. We have jail ministries. We have all kinds of ministries. But we don't think about the blind. Pray for us as we reach out to these people. They're hard to find. The best way to find them is ask another blind person where they are. And they'll point us to them. Most of our referrals come from other blind people. I'm going to give you one name. Pray for Jeffrey. Jeffrey Friedlander. He's a blind, intellectual Jew. And everybody that knows him in the blind community said he talks a good line, but we don't think he's saved. He called me and asked me for one of these. Another friend of mine, a former student in a night Bible college, is in the ministry in Australia to the Jews. And he has a tract written by a rabbi. And that'll catch a Jew's attention when something is written by a rabbi. And I've asked him for the file. He's going to send me the electronic file. I'm going to braille that file. And I'm going to send it to Jeffrey. Pray that Jeffrey gets saved. Jeffrey Friedlander. Folks, our ministry is not going to reach the masses for the very reason that you don't see blind people every day. But there are over 150 million Braille readers around the world. Somebody's got to reach them. Father, help us to get away from our preconceived notions as to what you want us to do. Lord, when it says the world, it means everyone. Regardless of their social, economic, sinful status, or what the case might be, you died for them all. And Father, I pray that you will help this church to go from here with a renewed vision of reaching those people, whether they're blind, they're deaf, they're down on their luck, or what the case might be, to reach those people that no one else is reaching. In Jesus' name.